Dear friends in Christ, every year we celebrate Christ's death and resurrection. Lent is a time to prepare for this celebration. In order that our Lent may be a time of renewal and growth, we begin this season by remembering our need for repentance and for the forgiveness of God proclaimed by Jesus Christ. I invite you, therefore, in the name of Christ, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, self-denial, and giving to those in need, and by reading and meditating on the Word of God. Our first reading is from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Our second reading for this evening is found in Psalms chapter 51, verses 1 through 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness. Even in the womb, you taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Tonight's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. in the words of Jesus. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I had started the wrong place, so I will get the first five verses here. Jesus said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for this chance to gather in your name, knowing that you, as promised, are among us. Lord, may we feel your presence in a special way as you speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, Ash Wednesday, we embark on the season of Lent, preparing ourselves for what is to come, the death of Jesus, but also his resurrection. Ash Wednesday is a reminder of our own mortality. Turning back to Genesis 3, after the fall of man, when God was speaking to Adam in the garden, he told him in part, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. So this Lent, and every Lent, is supposed to be a time for things like prayer, for fasting, for repentance, to create a mindset where we are prepared for Holy Week. Prayer, an important part of it. I would encourage you to take time every day to spend time in prayer. It's something that maybe we don't always do deliberately. Sure, we pray when things get really bad, and we may say prayers of thanks when things get really good. But are we taking that time every day to connect with God, to put aside all distractions, to spend that time with him? He's our Father, and he appreciates it when we ask him things, when we spend time with him. Those of you that are parents out there, you know what it's like. When your kids come to you for advice, that's just a good feeling that they're seeking it out. And we need to be doing the same thing with our Heavenly Father, coming to him for advice, and coming to him with our thanks and with our requests. Of course, we pray throughout the day as well. As we go throughout our day, we're constantly in communication with him. That's the way we're supposed to live. The Spirit dwells within us. We are also Spirit, and we need to be connected to God who is Spirit. That's part of worshiping in spirit and truth as well, as Jesus told Nicodemus. So pray throughout the day. Maintain that connection with God, with that Spirit who is all around us. He is everywhere. There's nowhere you can go to hide from him. He is everywhere present. And as you pray, remember that The conversation should not be one-sided. We've all endured conversations that are one-sided, where someone just keeps on and on and on and never gives us a chance to speak. It's supposed to be reciprocal, where we talk to God, but he talks back to us. And we have to listen. Make that time to listen, and perhaps that's the tough part. We can come to him with our prayers and petitions, but to listen as well. If you are going to connect deeply with someone, you need to talk and you also need to listen. You need to spend time together to get to know each other better. And God already knows about everything about you, of course. But he wants you to seek him, to come to him, to thank him, to acknowledge him. And prayer is great, but we can amplify prayer. And that's the second part. We said that Lent is a season of prayer, of fasting, and repentance. Fasting is like a prayer amplifier. When we fast, we are able to focus, and to an extent that we can't when we don't fast. Putting aside that food, yeah, you've got the hunger within you, but I like to, every time I start to think about food or get hungry, I just turn my thoughts to God and connect with him even more through this, through the fasting. It also increases our ability to hear. We're not distracted by other things. We can focus more clearly and we can hear better from God when we fast. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, God tells his people to come before me with prayer and fasting. The disciples found out the hard way and they tried to drive out a demon and couldn't. And Jesus replied, this type can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. The power twins, those two things together, prayer and fasting, putting them together, it opens up whole new dimensions. It opens up a whole new connection with God. If you have never fasted, I encourage you to do so. And this Lent may be your opportunity to do so. If nothing else, just fast during the day, maybe from sunrise to sunset. If your health does not allow it, okay. There are other things from which we can fast. Are there other things that are controlling your life? Is it something like maybe modern technology or social media? Could you fast from that for a while? Maybe not for the full 40 days of Lent, but if you're called to that, if you feel God leading that way, do not quench the Spirit when he's telling you to do something, when you're feeling it within your spirit. Follow. By putting aside these other things, we can hear better from him, we can focus better on him, and that prayer time becomes so much more personal as we get to hear from him clearly and connect with him in spirit. The fasting without food also reminds us that we have enough. We have more than enough. We eat when we're not hungry. These other things from which we might fast, we're also doing them when we don't have the need also. God is there. And sometimes he's all you got. But when God is all you've got everything you need. Joel, in the reading today, the prophet Joel mentioned fasting as well. In verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast. And call a sacred assembly. This is where the people are all fasting together. Yes, we can fast as individuals, but I remember some years ago with Pastor Becky when we had an evening class on fasting where we came several weeks in a row, we learned about fasting. We started fasting together. And it was really cool knowing that there were other people out there. Your brothers and sisters in Christ were also fasting and praying. It added a whole new connection to them, as well as to God. So fasting as an assembly, as a people. Our Wednesday prayer group, some of us fast for that too, and you know that throughout the day, you're not alone, that there are other people fasting and seeking God. It's an incredibly reassuring thing. Along with fasting, Joel calls the people to repent. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Everyone is what he's saying here. Let the bridegroom leave his chamber and the bride her chamber. The importance here, to leave behind your wedding, This is how important he declares it to be. To repent, even now declares the Lord, return to me. Repentance is a turning. When we start to wander away from God, it's time to do a 180. It's the time to do that about face. And when we do that, we are facing back to him. Returning to the Lord your God. We wander. We are human. We do wander from him, every single one of us. And return to me, it says, with all your heart. Circle the word all. All your heart. Not just part of your heart. Not just part of your life, but all your heart. Seriously and sincerely, with everything you are. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. So rending the garments was the thing that people showed repentance back in the Old Testament. They dress in sackcloth and ashes, they would rend their garments. But here he's not talking about a rending of your outward garments, it's a rending of your heart, who you are, internally. Something that is precious, your heart. It's on the inside, not the outside. God looks on the inside. He looks on the heart. When I look at these things about repenting, I have to wonder, are we serious about repenting? Am I admitting all my sin to God? And not only as an individual, but perhaps also as a nation. Are we seriously repenting? Are we acknowledging that we are trying to follow our own ways? Following our human will rather than God's perfect will. We do. And we need to repent. It's not a one and done. We need to repent repeatedly as we stray from God. He wants the best for us. He's the perfect Father. He has prepared all this for us. If we will just follow his will and follow his perfect way, he's got it all figured out. As humans, we many times have to learn the hard way. We have to beat our head against that wall until we finally get it. But if we would just follow what he has set forth in his word, we could avoid all that. Not easy for humans. The repenting, Joel also talks about the priests interceding. Verse 17, let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. The people could only approach so far towards the temple. And then the priests are the ones that could go into the sacred part and ultimately sometimes into the Holy of Holies. So the priests physically stood between God and the people in this time. They were the ones making the sin offerings on the people's behalf. They were the ones bringing the prayers to the people. They were the ones doing the sacrifices. And they were interceding here for the people. Today it's not that way. Jesus, upon the cross when he died, that curtain that separated was torn in two, where we have direct access to God. We don't need a priest, we don't need a pastor to intercede for us. We can come to him directly, personally, with our prayers, with our fasting, and with our repentance. The repentance is reinforced by David in the psalm tonight as well. This Psalm 51, this is what happened after David went after Bathsheba. Okay, he screwed up big time. He saw her, he had an extreme lust for her, arranged for her husband to be killed so that he could have her. Following his human will rather than God's will. And it took a while to sink in, as it often does. But finally it did. He genuinely realized the extent to which he had sinned. This psalm is a sincere form of repentance, where he's pleading, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity. Cleanse me, and I will be clean. Wash me, I'll be whiter than snow. He knows only God can remove the sin. There's nothing he can do. All he can do is admit it to God. God, I screwed up big time. And I realize it with everything within me. Lord, I want to come back to you. I want to do things right. Will you take me back, please? That's what he's asking. And God, who is faithful to forgive, says yes. No matter how many times we go prodigal, he is there willing to take us back, no matter what. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. We can sacrifice lambs, we can sacrifice cattle, we can sacrifice all kinds of things. But here, he's sacrificing his broken spirit and his broken and contrite heart. He's coming back on his knees. Please, please, I realize how badly I've screwed up. Maybe some of us have done that to another human. We realize we've wronged him. We ask for forgiveness. Here, he's coming before God, acknowledging his sin. During this time of Lent, again, repentance. Let us be mindful of our sin. We're not perfect. Even though we get full of ourselves, we are definitely not perfect. And let us repent and return to the Lord our God. For he is merciful and faithful to forgive. So when praying, when fasting, and when repenting, keep in mind what Jesus told us in the gospel tonight. To do it with a right heart and for the right reasons. Not to be like the Pharisees here who are praying in the street corners and fasting in public and telling everybody about all these things that they are doing, thinking that the works will make them right with God. Not the case. It's not a matter of works, it's a matter of the heart. Giving our heart to him is what we need to be doing. And doing these things for the right reason. Because we love him, because we seek to follow him and his ways. Not to impress others, not to build ourselves up, but to honor God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Savior. Only he has the power to purify. We're covered in sin. Human soap cannot get rid of it, the red stains that we carry. Only God can do it. Only he can make us white as snow. Only he can create a pure heart within us, renew a right spirit within us, and restore the joy of his salvation. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. All praise, honor, and glory to God.